Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capital Critique of Political Economy, Volume 1 is Karl Marx's foundational work of political economy and one of the most influential critiques of capitalism ever written. First published in 1867 and later revised in a major authoritative German edition, it examines the capitalist mode of production from its basic unit, the commodity, through labor, value, surplus value, and the organization of factory work. The book is not a general history of economics. It is a systematic analysis of how capitalism creates wealth, inequality, and instability through the extraction of unpaid labor. This Princeton edition is especially notable because it presents a new English translation based on the last German version revised by Marx himself, with extensive scholarly annotations that make the text more accessible to modern readers. As a result, the book serves both as a classic theoretical text and as a serious critical edition for readers who want to understand capitalism at its roots. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the commodity as the starting point of capitalist society. Marx begins with the commodity because it is the most basic form in which capitalist wealth appears. He shows that a commodity is not simply an object with usefulness, but a social form tied to exchange, labor, and value. This starting point matters because it allows Marx to move from everyday market exchange to the deeper structure of the system. By analyzing the commodity, he demonstrates that capitalism does not rest on neutral trade between equal things, but on a social relation that hides the conditions of production. The commodity form also reveals a tension between use value and exchange value. Things are made both to satisfy needs and to circulate as bearers of value. That tension shapes the entire system, because production is organized not around direct human need, but around exchange and accumulation. Marx's method here is important as well. He does not begin with abstract moral criticism, but with the logic of the economic form itself. That makes the argument foundational for the rest of the book, since every later concept is developed from the commodity form and its contradictions. Secondly, labor time and surplus value as the basis of profit. One of the central arguments in Volume 1 is that value is determined by socially necessary labor time, not by subjective preference or simple market pricing. Marx uses this theory to explain how capitalist profit is possible without breaking the formal rule of exchange. The key is surplus value workers are paid for their labor power, but the value they create during the working day is greater than the wage they receive. The difference is appropriated by the capitalist and becomes the source of accumulation. This is the book's most important explanation of exploitation because it shows that profit does not come mainly from clever trade, but from control over labor itself. Marx distinguishes between necessary labor, which reproduces the worker's wage, and surplus labor, which produces unpaid value for capital. This distinction lets him analyze the working day as a site of conflict, since capital seeks to lengthen, intensify, or reorganize labor to increase surplus value. The concept is also broader than individual workplace abuse. It describes a structural relation built into capitalist production. In this way, Marx gives exploitation a precise economic form rather than treating it only as a moral injustice. Thirdly, machine production, the working day, and the discipline of labor. Volume 1 gives sustained attention to industrial capitalism, especially the factory system, machinery, and the struggle over the length and intensity of the working day. Marx argues that machinery is not simply a neutral improvement in efficiency. Under capitalism, it is introduced to raise productivity, reduce the cost of labor power, and expand surplus value. This means technological development is tied to class power. Machines can increase output, but they can also deepen worker dependence and accelerate the pace of work. Marx's discussion of the working day shows that capital has a direct interest in extending labor time beyond what is socially necessary for reproduction. The result is a historical conflict over hours, fatigue, child labor, and legal limits. He uses this conflict to show that the state and labor law emerge not as neutral institutions, but as responses to pressure generated by capitalist exploitation. The analysis of machinery also helps explain why technological progress under capitalism does not automatically improve human welfare. Instead, it can concentrate control, separate workers from skill, and make labor more disciplined and interchangeable. This section gives the book its concrete social force, linking economic theory to the lived realities of industrial work. Fourthly, commodity fetishism and the hidden social relations of exchange. Marx's discussion of commodity fetishism is one of the book's most enduring insights because it explains how capitalism makes its own social relations appear natural. In everyday exchange, commodities seem to relate to one another as if value were a property of things themselves. Prices, wages, and profits then appear to arise from objects or markets rather than from human labor and social power. Marx calls this fetishism because it reverses reality. People treat products as if they had independent life, while the labor that created them becomes hidden. This is not simply an error in perception. It is built into the structure of exchange, where relations between people take the form of relations between things. The concept helps explain why capitalism can seem self-evident or unavoidable, even when it depends on unequal labor relations. It also has wider implications for political economy, because it shows that market forms conceal production, class conflict, and exploitation. Marx's analysis remains influential because it does not reduce ideology to false opinion. Instead, it shows how social appearances are produced by economic structure itself. That makes fetishism central to understanding both the power and the opacity of capitalist society. Lastly, primitive accumulation, coercion, and the historical making of capital. Although Volume 1 is often read as a theory of value and exploitation, it also ends by showing how capitalism was historically created through violence and dispossession. Marx's account of primitive accumulation rejects the idea that capital arose from thrift, hard work, or peaceful market exchange alone. Instead, he describes the separation of producers from the means of production through enclosures, colonial expansion, forced labor, slavery, and state-backed expropriation. This historical chapter is essential because it demonstrates that capitalism requires more than markets. It depends on coercive processes that create a class of propertyless wage workers. The argument broadens the book beyond factory economics and into political history, showing that the rise of capital is inseparable from law, empire, and social compulsion. It also challenges liberal stories about self-made wealth by revealing the violent preconditions of accumulation. For modern readers, this section connects the origins of capitalism to broader histories of inequality and global domination. It is one reason the book remains politically significant. Marx insists that the system's foundations are not natural or fair, but historically produced through conflict and force. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a serious, theory-driven account of how capitalism works at its foundation, students of political economy. Social theory, philosophy, history, and anyone trying to understand Marx beyond slogans. It rewards careful reading because it explains the logic of commodities, labor, profit, and accumulation with unusual rigor while also linking economic categories to factory discipline, legal limits, and historical violence. Readers looking for a simple critique of markets will find something much more ambitious, a systematic analysis of the social relations that make markets possible and profitable. What distinguishes this edition from many other versions is its authoritative basis in Marx's revised German text, along with extensive commentary and annotation that help modern readers navigate a difficult but central classic. Compared with shorter introductions to Marx, this volume offers direct engagement with the original argument rather than a summary of it. Compared with standard economics texts, it asks not how capitalism grows, but what social relations and contradictions sustain it. That makes it indispensable for anyone seeking both intellectual depth and a durable framework for thinking about modern capitalism. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.